We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you found the joy of salvation? Have you discovered spiritual peace and satisfaction in this life? Have you realized the purpose for which God placed man upon this earth? There is so little spiritual joy in the hearts of many people today. Why is this so? Centuries ago, Jesus declared, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life," he said in John 14, verses 1 and 6. On that same occasion, the Lord told his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." John 15, verse 11. Many centuries before, Isaiah had written prophetically, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Isaiah 12, verses 2 and 3. And the psalmist declared, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." The 100th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah also wrote, "The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." Isaiah 51, verse 11. The wise man of God exclaimed, "The righteous doth sing and rejoice." Proverbs 29, 6. Yes, the hearts of the righteous rejoice when the great songs of the church are sung, such as, "Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend." Both the Old and the New Testaments give a prominent place to the concept of joyfulness. Besides joy in the general sense, that is, the response of the mind to any pleasurable event or condition, the concept of joy as a religious emotion is very frequently referred to in the Scriptures. Religion is conceived of as touching the deepest springs of emotion in the human heart. Such a feeling of exultant gladness often resulted in one's freely praising and singing praises to God. The Bible presents joy as a natural outcome of fellowship with God. As the psalmist wrote, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand that is pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16:11. In Psalms 4, verse 7, it is said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." In Psalms 35:9, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." In other words, the Bible sets forth the teaching that God is both the source and the object of our joyfulness. Not only this, but the Bible reveals that joy is a divine emotion as well as a human feeling. God is represented as experiencing joy over his works. Psalms 104, verse 31. And one of the most beautiful and expressive verses written by Zephaniah, the prophet, reveals, "Jehovah thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Our God is not a rigid, emotionless force in the world, but rather a supreme being susceptible to both joy and pain. The concept of spiritual joy is especially prominent in the New Testament, its message being the culmination of all the things foretold and prefigured in the Old Testament. The four Gospels began with the joyful announcement of good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Joyfulness was exemplified in the life and character of Jesus, as well as set forth in his teachings, in the great Sermon on the Mount, and so many of his parables. Jesus stresses the happiness and joy of his kingdom. He presented a joyfulness that can be permanent, in contrast to the sorrow which is transient. Although it is true that in the dark days following the crucifixion, the joy of his disciples passed under a cloud, yet at the resurrection, even more so on the great Pentecost 50 days later, their joyfulness emerged into a light that never wavered again. Joyfulness became a distinct characteristic of the early Christians. Writing to the early Christians, Peter spoke of Christ, whom not having seen ye love, of whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. From the beginning of the New Testament Church of Christ, rejoicing was evident wherever souls were saved and added to the body of Christ. After the coming of the Holy Spirit with the power with which the kingdom came, Peter and the apostles preached the first gospel sermon in Jerusalem about 50 days after the death and resurrection of our Lord. 3,000 souls gladly received the word of truth and were baptized for the remission of their sins, as explained in Acts 2, verses 38-41. Their joy and gladness were described by the Holy Spirit. Hear the word of the Lord. Are you listening? And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved. Acts 2, 46-47. Even when they were persecuted, the apostles went on their way, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. That's found in Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. Nothing could dampen their joy in the early church. Concerning reproaches and persecutions, lies and malicious slander, Jesus had taught in the Sermon on the Mount, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Matthew 5:12. In a later chapter of Acts we read, they therefore that were scattered abroad went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs which he did. And there was much joy in that city. Acts 8, verses 4 through 8. This joy was obviously the result of the good news of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation that brought remission of their sins. Verse 12 relates, but when they believed Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. My friends, the joy of salvation was experienced by those who obeyed the gospel of Christ. In the 8th chapter of Acts is found the story of Philip preaching Jesus under the Ethiopian eunuch. Listen to the word of the Lord. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 8, verses 36 through 39. Yes, he had obeyed the gospel of Christ. His sins had been remitted and had the hope of eternal life. Why should not he rejoice? Another fascinating conversion account is found in the experience of Paul while in Philippi with the heathen jailer. After the miraculous earthquake which God used to open all the doors of the prison, the jailer woke from his sleep and was about to take his own life when Paul called him, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his immediately. And he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. Acts 16, verses 29 through 34. Yes, he rejoiced greatly, the Bible says. Why? Because he had believed in the Lord, the Son of God, in whose name salvation is to be found. But when did he rejoice greatly? He rejoiced greatly after he had put Christ on in baptism, after he obeyed the Lord. In preaching Christ, Philip and Paul both obviously preached the commands given by the Lord in the Great Commission. You remember, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. It is clear and significant that in every case of New Testament conversion, the rejoicing followed one's faith and baptism into Christ. This is the divine pattern set for us in the first century. Far too many people today seem to rejoice too soon. They rejoice before they have completed that obedience to the gospel of Christ. Beloved, are you listening? Salvation and the subsequent rejoicing comes only after one has obeyed from the heart Christ's command to believe, repent, and confess his faith in Christ, and having put on his Savior in baptism. Were you told to rejoice too soon? Are you listening to what the word of the Lord said? Listen. Peter commanded, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins." Acts 2, verse 38. Rejoicing cannot come until after remission of sins. Actually, remission of sins is the basic cause for rejoicing, the joy of salvation. Although the Christian experiences the joy of salvation because of the fact that he has obeyed the word of the Lord and is a Christian, we must never mistake joy as a condition of salvation. It must always be remembered that it is possible for one's feelings and emotions to be deceiving. During the Vietnam War, a father and husband was reported killed in action, but later the wife and children were informed that their husband and father had been taken prisoner. There was great rejoicing, joy immeasurable. But later, their tears of joy and gladness were turned into rivers of sorrow and heartbreak, because their husband, their father, was confirmed to be dead. Yes, one's heart may be deceived, even though not purposely done. No doubt many of you listening to me now could testify that you've had the experience, short-lived joy, because you later discovered that you had been misinformed or misguided. You were honest and sincere, but oh, how mistaken. Beloved, are you listening? How tragic it would be for you and for me to stand before God on the great day of judgment and hear him say, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Depart from me that work iniquity, for I never knew you." The Lord said in that passage, the only way to go to heaven is to do the will of the Father. How were people who did great works in the name of Jesus going to expect to be saved when they have not obeyed the will of the Father? Is your joy in Christ based upon all His truth? Have you tried to call Him Lord, Lord, without obeying His gospel? Could it be that your joy is mistaken or temporary? My friends, when one becomes a Christian, a child of God, there is great rejoicing that very hour. This feeling of joy should then begin to grow and mature until continual joy in the Lord. The Apostle Paul once wrote that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, verse 17. Joy and peace are a vital part of the Christian life, the fruits of his own life that he himself enjoys. Listen to Paul as he explains, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Galatians 5, 22-23. Joy and peace have a vital relationship to each other. Joy is the gladness, the happiness that radiates from the life of the Christian. This joy is the outward expression of the Christian's inward peace. As such, it seems, and it knows no other bounds. The atmosphere of the entire New Testament is that of a book of joy. The terms translated joy and rejoicing are found some 130 times in the New Testament. Spiritual joy adds luster to all the Christian virtues and helps to illuminate every experience of life. But nowhere is its glow more brightly than in adversities. One of the first lessons in the New Testament concerning the Christian's life is that joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Rather, the trials of life are to be transformed by joy. Such Christian joy is not some kind of superficial effervescence, but rather, this joy wells up from the deep innersprings of the Spirit-filled life. Truly, as Paul said, it is a fruit of the Spirit. This spiritual joy is the outward manifestation of one's inward peace. This joy and peace do not come because of the absence of trouble, anxiety, or worry. Rather, such joy is the serenity that results from living in right relationship with God, with one's fellow man, and with oneself. This is a joy and a peace that endures and overcomes the trials of life. Beloved, how much joy is there in your life today? Do you know the joy of salvation? The joy that causes you to rejoice with unspeakable joy and full of glory? Are you following the admonition of the apostle when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always"? And again, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." That's the real joy of salvation.